Hey, folks, I know there are lots of business owners who listen to this show. Maybe some of you never planned on running a business, but now here you are. One thing you've always got to keep in mind is how much you're spending on your operating costs. That's one of the first things we had to keep in mind with WTF. And with things costing more today than they did when we started, you want to keep your expenses down. To reduce costs and headaches, be smart and use NetSuite by Oracle, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth. Reduce IT costs, cut the costs of maintaining multiple systems, improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/WTF for more. That's NetSuite, NetSuite.com/WTF.
Lock the gate!
All right, let's do this. How are you, what the fuckers, what the fuck buddies, what the fucksters? What's happening? I'm Mark Maron. This is my podcast. Welcome to it. How's it going today? What is it, Thursday? The week go okay? Everything all right? Are you getting by? Did you get all that shit done? Did you, how was the dentist? Did that work out? Did you get the tests back? Did your kid do all right at that thing? What's going on with the couples counseling? Everything all right? You working through it or what? You know, sometimes you just need time. You just need space. Don't hurt yourself. For God's sakes, what's happening, folks? That was just a general, broad greeting to those who would apply to. Sorry about the job, by the way. Sorry. So that was one other one just kicked in. And, you know, I hope it works out. The new thing, very general. That was very general. So Shantae Wayans is on the show today. She is a comedian. She's part of the Wayans dynasty. she's actually the first Wayans I've talked to, which is odd. She's the newest Wayans in the game. And I saw her on Tiffany Haddish's thing. Tiffany Haddish presents They Ready. She was one of them. And I knew somebody who knew her, and she said she was game to do the show. So it was great. It was interesting. Fun talk. It's coming up. So let's check in with stuff. Okay. Let's check in with mortality vis-a-vis monkey. I've been talking about monkeys slowly fading away. He's getting skinny, but he's very lively. He's 15 years old. He and his sister, LaFonda. These are cats, by the way. If you're just tuning in, you know, he's lively, he's eating, he's running around, him and Buster, the kitten, are playing, but he's getting really skinny. And I talked to you guys about this, and a lot of you sent in suggestions, but I took him to the vet, and because he's gotten so skinny and kind of fragile, he's a lot easier to handle. He doesn't have the edge he used to, monkey. I guess that's the same with all of us, huh? Cats, people. It's not that you're losing your edge. It's just the edge is not as scary if you're old, because then you're just an old guy yelling. So I took him in, got the blood test. He seemed all right. The doctor was nice. I'm waiting as we speak. I'm waiting right now for results of that blood test. The doc seems to think because he's eating, it might not be kidneys. It might not be diabetes. Could be this hypothyroid trip, which is medicatable. But, you know, I have to accept some harsh realities here about a lot of things, myself included. And there's lessons to be learned, man. Both of my parents are still alive. And sadly, if everything works the way it's supposed to, they'll pass before me. So that's coming. I don't mean to be cold-blooded. It's sad. It's reality, but it's just the way it is. Monkey, my cat, is 15 years old. It's the longest relationship I've had with anything, really. You know, on a day-to-day basis, him and his sister. And he's old and he's had a great life, and 16 is getting up there for a cat, 15. I mean, they can live to 20, 21, 22, but you know, if he goes, he goes, and that was a quality life. And then I started thinking about my own fucking life. sitting here talking to you guys twice a week, going out on stage, doing what I want to do. I want to do it. I feel like I've earned it. I feel like I've worked hard to do what I'm doing. I'm happy to be making a living. But some days I'm wondering, do I want to do it? Am I doing what I want to do? Does that still hold at this juncture in history and in my life? Does it still hold as we're staring down the barrel of a world in decline, of a planet in crisis, of a potential sort of like authoritarian reality for the planet? So what have I got left? I mean, that's really the question. And I've talked about that on my old special, you know, how much time do I have left? But really, what do I want to do? What is the quality of life that I can give myself at this point? And what do I want to do with it? Like, I'm going out on the road. I'll be in Toronto tonight. There might be some tickets left. I'll be in Chicago tomorrow night, Detroit on Saturday, Minneapolis on Sunday. You can get all those dates, the upcoming ones in Atlanta, San Francisco, Philadelphia, where else? Nashville, all of them coming up. Boston, Washington, D.C. at WTFpod.com/tour. But how many of these tours do I need to do? You know, is there so much joy for me in wrestling with myself and with the world and with my thoughts and ideas for a year and a half to kind of wring another hour and a half of comedy out of me? I guess it's rewarding, but yeah, everyone's doing it. I guess what I'm trying to get to is a part of me just wants to go cut and run, sell everything I've got and just go get a place maybe in Northern Ireland and just sit there and look at water and rocks for every day. Make toast, look at water, look at rocks, walk around, read a poem, maybe try to write a little something. Look at water, look at rocks. Looking at water, looking at rocks. Looking at water, looking at rocks. Is this the life I wanted for me? Musical's coming, by the way. Clearly. We're all going to go. Monkey's pretty good right now. My folks are okay. I'm okay. I'm going to go do some comedy. I enjoy it. I like the life I'm living. I'm just wondering if at some point I should just pull out and go look at water and look at rocks and think and breathe and take a walk. Or do I just keep going nuts? I'm grounding. I'm grounding and just trying to figure out really what I want to do with my life. I forgot to tell you this other thing. We've got some new items in the merch store. What do you think of that? The WTF merch store. There's a new WTF hoodie for the upcoming crisp fall days. And then there's a new keychain and a new stainless coffee mug, both featuring the Draplin design that you can get on your shirts. Go to podswag.com/WTF or go to WTFpod.com and click on merch. podswag.com. Cool shit. More shit coming, too. Hats, because now I'm a born-again, snapback, flat-rim hat guy. I think I'm probably a little late to that game, and I wear it forward. I don't wear it backward. So, however we're going to distract ourselves with kind of bullshitty fights along the lines of, social issues, I know there's a large contingent of comedians and they're part of. There's also the great monoculture of free thinkers, who where there's a lot of pushback against PC. There's a lot of people that really are angry and passionately defending their right to punch down because it feels good and it's fun to hurt people. You know, sadly, on some level, there is an innate reaction to vulnerability, discomfort, accidents, pain, tripping, embarrassment. That's funny. I mean, I don't know that you need to manufacture it, you know. And also, there's part of the human psyche, I think, that causing pain in other people seems to feel like that's part of winning, and the excitement therein. But again, we're civilized people, and this doesn't have to be the way. But the point is, And my reaction to this, and I don't even, whatever the guy's name is who got fired from SNL, I really am not keeping up on it, but people ask me, what do you think? What do you think? There's no, you can say whatever you want. There's no constitutional amendment that says you can't say things. Yes, some things have been characterized as hate speech, rightfully so. Can be very violent and hostile depending on how it's used, but for the most part, there's no one, you can say whatever you want. And the pushback is going to be from a collective of people who react in a certain way on a grassroots level through social networking platforms or on a corporate level. But there is no censorship on behalf of the government or the Constitution. You can still say whatever the fuck you want. All right. Now, if you're you have problems with corporations restricting your ability to say shit because it goes against their bottom line, well, go fight that fight. If you have problems with people who have whose feelings you hurt, who aggregate and push back, okay, fine. Fight that fight if you want. But the truth of the matter is, I think, you know, what this is all based on, First Amendment stuff or Lenny Bruce, you know, is that, you know, Lenny's intent was progressive. Lenny's intent in terms of using the language he used, it's sure it was about language. It was about freeing the language. But you're looking at an America that was about maybe one generation past that major immigration in the early 1900s and dealing with stereotypes and breaking them down through using the words that he used to level the playing field and disarm some of the hate and friction was a different thing than what's happening now. So you can't really use that as a source. What's happening now is there's a tremendous aggravation on behalf of a certain type of people, the majority in general, that they can't pigeonhole or compartmentalize or put in a box through language marginalized people of different kinds or people with different points of view that are struggling to find definition in the culture. And God knows they need to be pushed back on and held down because it's funny for the majority to laugh at the vulnerability of marginalized or different people. Now, look, I've been guilty of bullying in my life. See, arguably, you know, the nerd issue that I had a couple of weeks ago could be seen as condescending and bullying. But the point is, you can say whatever the fuck you want. You're just going to have to deal with the consequences. You're not going to be put in jail. There's no thought police. There's no government agency rounding people up for saying things. Yeah, everyone's worried about... you know, they can't say tranny or fag anymore, but we're the puncher uppers. I think that if people were really to start punching up people with a podium or with a mic or comics, if they start punching up, they'd have to start with their own chin and then move up from there if they recover from the fucking belt that they have to give themselves. But it's always interesting to me. The anger is like not like we can't criticize the government because so few people are really doing that in a general way because they don't know how to make it funny. There are select people that do it, sure. But mostly it's about like, you know, why can't we make fun of people that are, you know, vulnerable and weird? You can. But my point has always been there will be consequences and you may end up only talking to people who like to talk the way you're talking. And that's fine. Look, you know, we moved past, you know, no one says Orientals anymore. No one says colored anymore. The culture's moved on and we're okay. We can do it. We can move past words that hurt people and be more respectful and still be funny. But if you need to say the words and you need to hurt the feelings and you need to sort of like really lean into, you know, making fun of the weirdos and marginalized, then your audience will be people that enjoy that. And that's how they divide and conquer us. That's how it happens. That's the fight. You'll find your level. You'll find your people. And if you want to fight for the right to punch down, then, you know, then you can talk to those people and they'll come see you because they'll be excited at the hilarity of causing pain. And as far as SNL goes, you know, so if you've got a problem with SNL, that's a corporate structure, then, you know, go fight that. It's not a constitutional thing. It's protecting the bottom line. I don't know what you're going to do about that. That's just the market, man. The market's holding you down. You free thinkers. So enjoy the life you have left. That's the trick. Maybe it's time to get your affairs in order. I think that's generally good advice in a broad way. you might want to get your affairs in order. It, always good advice. Sounds heavy, ominous, but I think it's generally good advice. So look, Shantae Wayans is the Wayans that I got first. She's part of the Netflix comedy special Tiffany Haddish Presents, They Ready. It's streaming now, and I really enjoyed talking to her. This is me and Shantae Wayans. Like, you're my first Wayans interview. How's that possible?
Get out of here.
You're the first
Wayans. I was the only one available.
No. I don't think I've ever, like, I don't know that we've actively pursued any of them. When I started doing comedy at the Comedy Store, when I was a doorman there, I used to see Damon all the time. Mm-hmm. And I saw Keenan sometimes. He was sort of phasing out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then like years in that, but I, that was it. And then I've seen Marlon, who does stand up.
Yeah.
He
started like 6-7 years ago.
Right. Yeah, because he could.
Freaking could. Yep.
You could say fuck.
Okay. All right.
And then the other one, Sean doesn't. He does.
No, Sean does.
He does.
Sean
now.
Just, yeah. Sean's been doing it with Damon and Keenan.
For a long time. But okay, so Marlon was the one that jumped on.
Mm-hmm.
You got the name. You can go tour with the name, make some money.
He was touring with 5 jokes, making more money than me, and I've been doing it over 15 years.
5 joke Marlon.
5 joke Marlon, man.
Do you guys get along? Well, let's break it down. Because I don't like, there's not a lot out there about you other than that set I saw.
Yeah, yeah.
But it seems like there's enough there to go on.
Oh, no, for sure. I mean, breaking it down, tree, grandma had 10 kids, 5 were rich, 5 were poor.
All right, wait. So grandma.
Grandma, grandpa, yep.
This is the 10, your mom's parents.
Yes.
All right, so that, they, where were they from?
All New York.
So it was all New York.
Mm-hmm. It was like when my grandma had 10, then one of my aunts had a kid. And then me and my brother were born. So we were all kind of, it's like, you know, 13 plus 2 parents.
And your mom's in the middle?
Yes. So, I can't tell you that. I would have to kill you. Because then that'll start adding up other people's ages that they don't.
Oh, really? Oh, so
there's certain people.
Who's the oldest?
Dwayne was the oldest. He passed away.
Okay. And then Damon?
Then Keenan.
Then Damon.
Than Damon.
I can look this up. I can get it right here.
No, here's the deal. There's like one or two that they made it a point
for no one
to ever be able to find.
Seriously.
But I think it's...
And they're men, aren't they?
Exactly. But we have Deidre, too, who's up there. I think she's third, and then it might be Kim.
So it goes, okay, Dwayne, Keenan, Kim.
Kim is the baby. Then, she's going to kill me.
Keenan, Kim, Damon, Sean, Marlon, Nadia, Elvira.
Is Kim older than Damon?
No, I'm just reading the list.
Oh, okay.
Deidre.
Mm-hmm.
Devon.
That's my...
She's all right?
That's one of my faves, yeah.
Is she's not in show business, or no, she is?
Mm-mm. See, the
so
ones
your
that's
mom,
not
wait, who's
in showbiz,
your mom?
Elvira.
Okay.
But the people who's not in showbiz are too real, like they don't have any sensory. Uh-huh. So like my mom used to, she came out here for a while and tried to get in the writer's room and stuff like that. And then I remember being on Universal lot and Steven Spielberg did something, and she like had road rage with Steven Spielberg, and I'm like, Mom, Steven Spielberg, I don't give a fuck. He's like, okay, you're not gonna make it, and
this business not for
this
you.
This business is not for you, Mom. They're too real.
What was that about?
Just road rage. Just
on the lot. In a golf cart or in a car?
I think he was in his car. You know, he doesn't have like the you know, Tesla type of ride,
right,
and stuff,
right.
So it's like,
oh, he's a normal, he's playing,
just looked like, he looked like a regular white dude.
Yeah,
just,
so why not?
Yeah, yeah.
Dump it on that guy. So, okay, so you grew up in New York, how many brothers and sisters you got?
Just one brother.
Yeah.
I have a slew of them on my dad's side who I actually just met.
Really? How old are you? Do you say how old
No worries, I'm 37.
That must be wild. I can't, like, that always fascinates me.
It was a part of a healing process for me. You know, coming from like anxiety and depression and being an addict.
Well, let's go back into that. So you grew up in New York. What part of New York?
Manhattan.
Right in the Manhattan?
Right where Chelsea Market, right across the street.
Yeah. Okay. And what's your mom do if she's not in show business?
She was doing like clerical work and, you know.
Regular job.
Your regular job.
But you knew you had these uncles.
Yeah, but we grew up in the fame. So it was like, it's so weird to, because they were poor with us. And then they started to rise.
Right, because I remember where they was. Keenan was he? They were started in New York, like at the Comic Strip or somewhere, or the or the Improv.
Was there Improv in New York at the time?
And maybe I caught the tail end of the Improv in the late '80s. The original Improv was in New York on 44th Street.
I didn't know that.
And Bud's wife, that was the divorce settlement. Was she got that one? And that was it. This beat up little place. Like on 44th between 9th and 10th.
You won't do another Improv again.
That's right. Okay. And that's that. So I don't know where I think Keenan started before Damon. But all right, so you remember them coming up.
I remember actually being in the comedy clubs. I don't know if you remember like Daryl Heath. I seen him. He used to roll with him and Chris Spencer.
Yeah, I see Chris all the time.
Yeah.
Okay, so in New York.
Yeah, in New York. And then... And then, you know, they was doing the Hollywood Shuffle, the I'm Gonna Get You Sucker.
Oh, Robert Townsend movies.
Mm-hmm.
He was from out here.
Wasn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to that guy.
Yeah, no, he's coming back.
Yeah?
He's like doing stuff now. Okay,
good, he's back. Did people just disappear for a while?
I think times are changing so much, people don't know how to, you know. Keenan tried to come back in the stand-up.
And he did? Just, why would he want to do that?
They were doing a Wayans Brothers tour.
Oh, so why not? I mean,
why not? Yeah. And then just the frustration of where Hollywood is right now and people, you know, the millennials. Yeah. Just saw them yesterday. And,
yeah.
And I walked in and Keenan goes, I seen your set. He goes, I got a joke for you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can't do it now. It's over. But it was funny. And Keenan's that dude. Like, I'll go to his house.
Yeah.
And he'll be like, what are you working on? I'll say something. And then he'll just like punch it up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, where have you been my entire career?
Where was he? Was he around?
He was around. It's just you.
Keenan's asked him?
Keenan's just one of those guys. You just got to show up.
Right.
He's like, why you don't come see me? Like, you never answer your phone or call me, and then you can just come.
It's a nice resource to have.
It is, but who wants to just walk up?
I know. Yeah. Well, I mean, you just got to get him when he's just hanging around, I guess, having lunch.
Who
just
knows?
Drop by, borrow something. By the way, I was in the neighborhood. Can you help me with this bit?
I need one of them doggy cameras to see what he's doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, like.
So you're okay. So you remember as a kid going out to see the uncles?
Yes.
Yeah, in New York.
Yes.
And you didn't, but you had no desire. Like how young? Like real young?
So young. Like I didn't even really know what the joke was.
Right,
I just
right.
know, like, I was like, oh, he's cute, and
yeah,
then
right.
like
yeah,
that was like my thing. But
right.
I didn't like the industry for a long time because I was you know, it's the whole like trying to sit down, have, you know, dinner with your family you haven't seen in a while, and people are like, can I get a picture?
Oh, right, right. So you knew they were, so when they became stars, they became stars.
It was just hard.
So when they move out here, how old were you when they disappeared into show business?
I mean, I had to be like in, I want to say like middle school. Because they would come to all of our graduations.
That's
so
nice.
That was
so
like
a tight family.
Oh, it was beautiful.
Oh,
it was
good.
Like, you know, people didn't want to be my friend. And then like midway through the graduation, you just see this whole family walk in. And they're like, oh my God. No one, like the parents don't even care about their kids graduating.
Yeah,
now. They're
yeah.
just like.
Yeah, they just want to see the weigh-ins. So you didn't want to do comedy. So what were you, how did you get all fucked up?
I was a geek. I was doing computer. I wanted to be into computer science.
When you were in middle school.
When I was
in
growing
high
school, up. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I wanted to be a lawyer, and then I found out you go for 4 years
four
and then
more.
Still have to go four more
yeah,
and
yeah.
still just become a paralegal.
And then take
like,
a test.
That's not going to work for me.
Too long.
Too long. And then I went to Seton Hall. I think if I would have got accepted to Rutgers, I would have stayed in college.
Mm-hmm.
I really wanted to go to Rutgers. And
really? Why? What was there?
The basketball team was amazing, and I don't know.
Just to, like, you were a fan or you liked to play?
Both.
Yeah.
Both. And you know, I only got accepted to Seton Hall in
Where's Seton Hall? In the city?
It's in Jersey. It's in South Orange.
Yeah.
So it's like moving, you know, going to college across the street.
Right.
It's like, you know, you want to get away from all these people you've seen for...
Ever.
Yeah.
And go have a life.
Go have a life. And then I went and did a semester and was doing some of the same things I was doing last year in high school and was like...
You got bored?
Boring.
Yeah.
It was just boring and, you know, started doing my teenage / turning 21 soon BS. And
yeah, which was?
Skipping class.
Yeah, right.
I never did anything like super bad or anything right. like that, but it was just like, you know.
Yeah.
I should have been cutting school in high school and
right,
stuff.
Right, not
and
in
I
college.
Was like, yeah,
yeah, because
yeah,
then it means something. Like in high school, at least you're doing something rebellious. In college, you're just sort of like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah,
you're,
yeah. It's like I just paid $25,000 to get right. in here for a semester. Yeah. So
you dropped out?
I dropped out. My mom was like, you got to go to Cali. Came to Cali. It was doing Scary Movie. I think it was Scary Movie 1. It was about to end. And I jumped on there. It might have been Scary Movie 2.
Yeah.
I jumped on there. And I
doing what?
I was a PA.
So your mom just said, your brother, your uncles will find something for you to do.
Well, no. My brother was out here. And so she was like, you need to, you know. You probably
What's he
should.
Do?
He directed. He writes. He, you know,
oh, yeah?
produced. He does. Yeah, he act.
Yeah.
He was in a few movies.
Yeah.
So, you know, he was like kind of starting his thing out. And then I came, you know, and as the little sister. But this was me like coming out of my lifestyle / trying to get rid of dudes in my life.
So, okay, so you're coming out as gay.
Yeah.
At that time. And mm-hmm. you had to get rid of dudes?
Yeah, you know, I had to got to brush them off my shoulders, Mark, you know?
It makes it sound like there's a whole bunch of them. Like, out, you're out.
No, I just was
She having, stays. You.
I was just having this conversation with somebody, but I said, dudes, I think when you have a lesbian girlfriend,
mm-hmm.
those are like the ones for y'all. You're
yeah.
like, I want to marry this girl. And so I had great relationships with guys, but I was the one to go, you know what? I'm just not ready.
Right.
You know,
right.
I want to impregnate you.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I had to tell them I had to go.
What is that? My first real girlfriend was, she turned out to be gay, but then didn't stay gay. Or maybe, right. I don't know if, I'm not sure how you do this anymore. I'm not sure it's right to even label people. She was fluid? I don't know. But right. But I remember when I met her, she was coming out of a relationship with a woman. But I don't know that I would have thought that, like, she's the one for me no matter what.
Well, she probably wasn't that girl. I want to say that, okay, maybe more of the tomboyish girls.
Okay, all right.
Are usually the ones.
So they had no idea.
Yeah.
You kind of knew or you knew?
I knew, but I thought, how do you say this? Because I remember Cindy that used to live across the hall from us. We right. used to play mud, like house and
yeah.
do mud stuff.
Yeah.
Never
mud
really
stuff.
Did it, you know.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
Remember the little,
yeah,
you ever
mud
made mud pies?
And, yeah,
you know, that was our dinner. I used to come home from work and picking up the leaves outside.
Yeah, I like the idea of mud stuff. We used to do mud
yeah,
stuff,
we used
you
to
know.
Do mud stuff. But she good. Lived across the hall from me, and I had to be like, I want to say like seven,
yeah.
five, seven.
Yeah.
It was.
And you felt it.
I felt it.
Yeah.
And then, but I also felt guys for a certain moment.
Yeah.
Then third grade hit. I had this chick who was Jamaican. She was the only girl in our school that had a butt and breast.
Right.
And she wanted me.
Uh-huh.
And so we used to leave we used to leave school every day after school and go to one of our houses and go to sleep.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah,
and
sure.
And literally I would just rub on her boobs for like an hour.
Nice.
Yeah, it was just squishy.
And
I was like, what is this?
Mud stuff and squishy.
You
move from mud stuff to squishy. But it, you know, it was all leading the same direction.
It was all leading to the same direction. But I just always felt woman is something that it's like, you know, if I could have chose an easier life,
yeah,
I would have.
And that's the weird argument against the choice thing. Like, you know, you choose your sexuality. It's like, would they though?
Yes. Like, who wants to like, no.
Is that an easy road to hoe there?
Right. You know, I got to spend a lot of money on sex objects and it's a lot
equipment.
Of work. Equipment and pay for everything. Like,
if this you're the top, you got to get the gear.
Bro, this is so like, I'm 10 more years and I'm out the game. I'm tapping out. Mark my words.
Then what happens?
I'm going to go find me a dude that his thing is not working too right and just we just sit on the couch and
work.
I cook.
Yeah, okay. That's a good plan, I guess. But okay, so it was kind of building up, and then you come out here and you come out. How was that? How the family sit with that?
They were supportive. They just roasted me
all
know?
The time.
It was just, I mean, you can't have men on films, and I'm like, I'm gay, and they're like, oh, we did the man part, but we never did the lesbian part. So, you know, I just had to grow tough skin, that's all.
Yeah? Mm. Just for the family?
Just for the family. That was my first audience.
Mm.
Yeah.
So you came out here and you got into, I guess it really is with those guys, like a family business. I mean, it seems like it. Mm-hmm. I mean, are they all in the same operation kind of? Is there a Wayans Brothers production company? Is everybody in the, you know, in the building kind of thing? Or how does it work?
No, I think everybody like wind up venturing off and doing their own stuff. But in the beginning, you know, they were doing projects together and so forth and so on.
Yeah.
But then there's this whole second generation, like my cousin Dwayne does music.
Now, whose kid is Dwayne?
Dwayne is Dwayne's.
Okay.
Who passed
Dwayne
away.
Jr.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. We got artists who draw. And
isn't there a Marlon Jr.?
Marlon is Sean's kid, and then Sean is Marlon's kid. So
Marlon is Sean's kid, and Sean is
Marlon. You know, the brother thing, they thought that was cute.
Oh, right.
It's like wearing the same outfit kind
of
thing.
Right, okay. So what was your work in what capacity did you work when you came out here?
So I started off as a PA, but the crazy thing, this is when Keenan was directing. So
one or two?
I think it was two.
Yeah.
But Keenan, you know, I was a PA and I was supposed to be helping and blocking and, you know, being treated shit.
Right.
And I basically would ask them, I would go, hey, you guys need anything? They go, no, you just stay by Keenan. You know, because they were like kind of messing up stuff on set.
Mm-hmm.
So they were afraid to go ask them stuff. So that became my job. However,
you were the go-between?
I was the go-between.
Yeah.
But I would say, hey, do you need anything? And they go, no, we're good. And then you just hear them get on the radio like, we need chairs. We need this. And so eventually it became about like, where do I fit in?
Right.
And then I found editing. I started in there.
Just hanging out and getting the hang of it?
It was like computers and learning all that stuff. So
The Avid,
exactly. Yeah. Like before the Final Cut Pros and stuff. And I wish I would have gotten to After Effects. I probably would have stayed there.
Oh, really?
But I didn't.
What is that? What are After Effects?
After Effects, like the special effects. That's like Avatar and stuff that. You
right,
know,
right.
Or putting explosions in.
But,
you know, as an editor, you're just in this dark room. That's where I started to get anxiety and like getting super depressed. You're in there with one person, you're just watching him.
So you didn't have any of these psychological things before you came out here? Like in New York, you were cool. In college, you were cool.
Yeah, I never had anxiety like that. I didn't understand what it meant. And so what wound up happening, so I was an introvert kind of, you know, growing up, and I was shy.
A little nerdy?
And I mean, I had my moments, you know, but I was very, I doubted myself a lot.
Yeah.
And then when I got into that, being in the editing room, there was this lady who came to work.
Yeah.
And I went from like an apprentice to trying to be assistant editor.
Oh, yeah.
And they wanted to have somebody to kind of be there, you know, that knew more.
Right.
So she comes in, and for 5 years, she just was so mean to me. She would she was there, what was it, five, maybe four.
And what production was this?
My Wife and Kids.
Uh-huh.
And so we would be My Wife and Kids was a show Damon did on.
Okay, so you were working on that TV show.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, got it. Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And so I'm in this room, and she would come up to me, and like, you know, we had to have paperwork to bring the posts and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And she would come in, instead of asking me, she'll just like wave the paper in my face
and
wait for me to like respond.
Uh-huh.
And so I started coming into this room and immediately felt like I had a knife stabbing me. I'm like, what the hell is wrong with me? And I would go to the doctor maybe 2-3 times a week, and I get to the doctor and I'm fine.
Yeah.
And so that's where I kind of established
like a chest pain?
Chest pain. I was like, I felt like I was dying.
Yeah, all because of this monster.
All because of, yeah. And the funny thing is, no, you know, everybody felt like I was being a brat. Like, you can't complain just because your uncle's in this business.
Wait, do you think that's one of the reasons why she was being rude to you?
Absolutely. She would tell me stuff like, why aren't you the assistant editor if you're Wayans? Like,
really?
I never, like, said anything about it. Like, what are you, I'm trying to learn.
Yeah.
And eventually, I just befriended her. And then she became crazy to everyone else and became a good friend of mine at the time.
And you worked the magic.
Yeah, you see a kid wearing goth outfits and looking depressed, that's the person I would befriend in school, just in case.
Yeah, because you knew it wasn't easy.
Yeah, it wasn't easy, and you know, you never
for
know.
Them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I just started to befriend her. And then she wind up turning on everybody, and like towards the end of the year, they were like, I'm so sorry. And I was like,
oh, because you were telling them.
Oh, yeah. Could you take the knife out of me now?
Yeah. So they didn't know, because you were getting all of it.
They thought I was a brat. They thought I was being
Yeah. So how, what do you do about the anxiety?
Now?
I mean, what did you do then when you finally realized what it was? How long did it take for you to get a diagnosis?
I don't even think... I mean, that's what the doctor wound up telling me.
Yeah.
But, you know, that became a time of me, like, drinking a lot. And,
yeah, that was your thing?
Mm-hmm.
Booze?
Drinking booze. Never really been a pill popper or anything like that.
No blow?
No. I've always said if... I want to do blow for two reasons. Yeah. One, if I liked it, I know I'm done.
Yeah.
Two, I would be so mad to spend, what is it, 30, 40 bucks on a ball,
yeah,
and it goes away in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I would be so, when I could
especially if you got friends.
Right, exactly. I could go buy a $1.25 shot and buy 10 of those and be set for a week.
How bad did it get? Like, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
I mean, DUIs, jail.
Oh, really?
Just, you know.
You sober now?
Yeah, I relapsed in February. So
you're doing the thing?
What's
going to meetings and stuff?
I am kind of. I'm very. My sponsor just broke up with me not too long ago.
Your sponsor broke up.
Yeah, he broke up with me. It was like, Shantae, this is.
You're not doing it. Well, what did he say?
It was because I was sober for 4.5 years, but I would smoke weed, and I wasn't going to AA.
Was it medical weed?
Yeah,
were you one of those people?
It was diagnosed.
Yeah, right. It's I have a prescription for it. Yeah, right.
But
yeah.
I literally can't sleep. Mm. So that was like my thing. And they would tell me, some people say you could do Benadryl and stuff like that. And I'd be like, why would I? It's still an addiction to me.
Yeah.
Because
I guess.
You know, it'll make me go to sleep. So
right.
I'll probably have popped that.
Right. But it won't alter your consciousness or make your life unmanageable.
No, but that's what I'm trying to figure out. Because mm-hmm. they're like, you know, they told me, you know where weed could lead you to crack. And I was like, I've never.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I never wanted crack after.
Yeah, I mean, crack leads to crack.
Right. Right. but I'm working on it.
Yeah.
I definitely am getting back into my AAs and.
Yeah, so you talked about jail on the special. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was a real thing?
Yeah. I mean, one of the best experiences of my life, though, being around chicks. But
how long were you in jail for?
Like 2 days.
2 days without you were like.
Well, I did Atlanta, too, but that was 10 days.
What, in Atlanta?
Mm-hmm. Atlanta was a private jail, but you was able to smoke cigarettes in there, so it was
so you
still.
Liked it? So you went to jail on a DWI, a DUI.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So how many DUIs did you get?
Oh, Mark, man.
Oh,
we're
really?
Gonna have to wait for another interview. No, I had three, but they you know, this was like 10 years, kind of 10, then 7, and then
it's a while back.
Yeah.
So the first one you go to jail.
First one, I went to jail for like an hour.
You didn't hurt anybody, did you?
No.
Okay. Mm-mm. Thank God.
The funny thing, not the funny thing, but the first one, somebody drunk driving hit another car and they flipped over and then spun out of control and hit me. I just so happened to be drinking.
See?
And I tried.
You got caught in the web.
I got caught. They had me sitting down in the fire station and I didn't realize the bathroom didn't have like a door.
Mm.
So as we're talking, he's asking me questions. I was like, could you give me one moment? And I go to the bathroom, you just hear, and then I come back and I'm like, oh, so where were we? He's like, you're getting arrested. That's where we are. I was like, dang it.
Oh, because they heard you?
Yeah, it's like right here. It's like me going behind this and just hurling.
Oh, I destroyed a car drunk, but I got lucky. Yeah, I took a U-turn. I was fighting with a girlfriend and I was shit faced and I was driving. I'm like, fuck it, I'm taking you home. And I took a U-turn and I just smashed into a parked car. I didn't have the room to make the U-turn. It was bad, man. All these cops came, but someone was robbing someplace else and they all left. They were very excited to leave.
Hilarious. So that's what
I'm doing the thing. Car couldn't drive the car, and like out of nowhere another cop pulls up, they're robbing the bakery, and all these cops are like kids are like, let's go. You
dang
okay?
Right. Dang.
Lucky.
I should have had somebody call.
Call yeah.
And
call
a 911 call.
So you go to jail and now are you like when you come out here, you're dating women, mm-hmm. everything's good.
Yeah, I'm dating women. I tried to, you know, I was doing Kingdom Hall for a little while, so I tried
what
to.
What is that?
You don't know what Kingdom Hall is?
I don't know
come
anything.
Come on, Mark.
Come on,
Jehovah's
know.
Witness. I was trying to do that. You know,
did you grow up with that?
My grandfather, my uncle, you know.
But was the family Jehovah's Witnesses?
Not the whole family.
Just some of them.
Mm-hmm.
So you were going to do that? You were going to no dancing? And
Listen, no singing, no
what any... the fuck? So like this is why, what, because you're drinking too much and you thought maybe I need to do that?
I just, you know, when you feel like, you know, your life sometimes...
needs structure.
Yeah. And then, you know, having part of my brain grow up in that, and I've always searched for religion. I got baptized.
Really?
Pastor tried to molest me, you know, like, but all these things was happening. I was like, well, maybe I'm just doing something wrong.
He tried to molest you, you stopped him?
Molest in the sense where he would just, I was staying at their house.
The pastor's?
Yeah.
When you were a kid?
Yeah. And he would just very awkwardly make passes. And you know, touch, but not like
right.
my body necessarily. Just right. let me touch my body, but not like.
You felt the creepiness.
It was just.
How old were you?
It was like 14, 15.
Oh, so you definitely knew what was going on.
Yeah. I mean, it was just, yeah. I mean, yeah. it was some creepy stuff.
Yeah.
But you know, I still felt like.
He's not
maybe
God.
Maybe it wasn't the right religion. You know, maybe I need to go to pescatarian. Like, I'm just this choosing.
This religion's not for me. Not that part
I tried
of
to
it.
Go speak tongues.
Did
I
you?
Mean, I did.
The Pentecostal?
I did. I went. They put me.
Where did you go for that?
It was in Jersey. I forget where it was, but.
But the rest of your family's sort of like, we're doing this thing. We're not.
Yeah, it's either Jehovah's Witness or
that's it. Oh, so your folks were Jehovah's Witnesses, mm-hmm. right? So, and you're like, that's not good enough. I got to go. I'm going to go to Jersey to
be a I didn't even really do the Jehovah's Witness stuff until I moved out here.
What happens when you go try to speak tongues?
Bro, it's the weirdest. It's the weirdest. It's like, you know, I don't know if you know how to speak Spanish or something, but it's like somebody just going, Mark, just start speaking. Just start speaking. No, speak Spanish.
Like Spanish. Oh, right.
Yeah. Speak Spanish.
I can't.
Just yes, you can. Just whatever you feel. And that's that's what I was doing. You know, maybe it's the pre-comedian in me, but yeah. I'm just sitting here like, what?
So you went once?
I went once. They pushed me on the floor.
Yeah.
You know, when they do the thing and it's hum-a-la-la-la.
Yeah.
The best thing about that church was like going and seeing people swim on the floor and stuff. It was
right.
Like,
oh yeah. Crazy.
That's pretty interesting. If I can get to that level.
Yeah. But what level is that?
Right. But I thought third eye opening. I'm like, this is some godly thing.
Oh, okay. So you believed it.
I mean, you're swimming on the floor. How long could you swim on carpet, Mark?
Yeah, but what? Why would God make you do that?
It's because it's.
I mean, I get the trance state and everything, but I mean, if you really think, like, if you pull yourself out for a minute, like, so these people are closer to God and that's what they're doing.
Mark.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Am I being condescending?
Not at all. I just, for you got to understand, me growing up, I thought if you can swim on carpet.
Right. It means you're.
Backstrokes.
Yeah. But the
Mark,
okay,
you got to see. I'm going to show you after this.
Okay, you're going to show me some videos of the.
No, I'm going to do it, and I want you to see. I want us to do it together. Can we shoot a video of us?
Is
trying
gonna
to swim
get me closer
floor?
To God?
I think so.
Just out of the embarrassment.
Hopefully, you won't drown.
Yeah, not concerned. So okay, so the Pentecostal thing. Now, what do you think that is, though, man? Like, because I know people have this thing in them. I don't have it in me. My brother has it in me, this search thing, you know, that, you know, like, what is it in your heart that you feel that you're lost or that you're longing or that your life doesn't have meaning or what? Did you find it?
I think I've come to an understanding.
Yeah.
And I believe in, you know, some of everything, but I believe we can heighten our conscious to a level where we can actually find peace and heal ourselves and so forth and so on. So I do believe in the third eye. I do believe in reincarnation.
Yeah.
I believe in that type of stuff. I think one, it was like, I don't want to disappoint my creator, which would kind of be like having parents you don't want to disappoint.
You have that feeling now.
No, I mean, now I just have a, listen, especially, you know, being an empath and being through the things I've been through in my life.
Yeah.
The fact that I'm not dead yet. And you know, somebody asked me this the other day, like, how could you do all this stuff and your career is still going? And I'm just like, I just feel like this is why I feel like I have to have my stuff together because obviously I have a purpose and a voice.
Right. I get that. I just watched some part of a documentary about this this organization, this Jesus organization that's behind, you know, that sort of serves people in power. Mm-hmm. But the idea is they're politics. It's political, and they're not good people. Mm-hmm. But the idea, I'm just referring to the chosen thing. Like, you know, once you start doing something, like when you start speaking your truth, and especially the truth that you're sharing, you know, to the communities that need to hear that stuff, who are, you know, marginalized or feel, hate, mm-hmm. you know, gay communities, specifically women, that you can immediately feel that you're providing a service, you're giving voice to something, you're helping people feel less alone, you're making people feel stronger, you know.
Absolutely.
And that's a good feeling. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it's important, and I think it becomes a responsibility. But the weird thing about these cats was this chosen idea is that they will serve any leader, like, and try to put Jesus, put the Jesus agenda onto them, because they think that anyone who becomes a leader is chosen by God. Because why else would they be a leader?
Right.
So that's why you have these evangelicals who are like okay with Trump. Like, he's not our guy.
Right.
But apparently God
chose him.
Thought that, you know, he should be doing this. Mm-hmm. It gets a little crazy there. Mm-hmm. I think that's a misunderstanding.
No, I mean, I don't think anybody could talk to God the way you can personally. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, it's funny because I love, like, the show The Vikings, because I don't know if you've ever seen it.
Mm-mm.
So it's just like they, you know.
It's about the Vikings?
It's about the Vikings, but they, you know, there's these savages, quote unquote, that go and take different, you know, lands and stuff. But this guy winds up meeting a Jewish, I forget the religion, but he goes and they take over this whole land.
A Viking, so like Poland Vikings. Or something?
Yeah, something like
where
that.
Where there are Jews?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I thought I wanted to get 23andMe because I was hoping I had some Viking in me. I was hoping that because some of my family comes from Poland. I figured maybe, you know, the Vikings got Poland.
Right,
maybe
right.
They got a little something.
Right.
Mm-mm.
No, but they were super dope. And they create, you know, they had sorcery, you know? So it's like the person that they were able to use to ask the gods, should they go do stuff and so on and so on. Well, you'll come to find out that later in the show, the season, Catholics were doing the same thing. And everything is about, you got these costumes, and then you also have somebody who speaks for you or to God, and you got to go through them. So
yeah,
it's the same concept.
Witches and warlocks.
Hmm?
Witches and warlocks.
Exactly.
Yeah, shamans. You
but
know,
it's like, different coming from the Catholics because...
So, oh man, the Catholics, that's a deep well of darkness there. A lot of mystical bullshit going on there.
Right.
Have you been over there? You've been to Italy?
No.
Man, you go to any church in Italy, it's just filled with dead wizards. You don't even know how many popes there are. There's pieces of people. There's a Saint So-and-so's finger. It's fucking dark, man.
Yeah.
It's some witchy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I like it. You know, I like it and it moves me. I can feel the vibe. You know, I get it, but there's still part of me that's sort of like, man, but, you know, I can choose, you know, not to be part of that magic, can't I?
Yeah, 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 absolutely.
So, all right, so let's go back, because I think this is going to all connect. So you get the one DUI, but it wasn't really your fault, but then, you got a real one.
That was my fault.
Yeah.
You know, I was trying to, well, the second one was me trying to text this girl, like, hey, you got off the wrong exit. I don't think you're on the way to my house. And I
swerved. So important stuff.
Very important stuff. We've been out drinking, and I just knew we was going to have a great night. And then, because I, you know, as I'm texting, I swerve, and then they got me. And then the third one, I actually wound up.
Where's the Atlanta one?
The second.
Oh, yeah. So was that the first time you went to jail?
No, it was out here.
Oh.
Because, you know, like, Callie, you get arrested initially.
Right.
And then they have you go to court, and then they'll probably have you go in, like, they give you 30 days or something.
Oh, so you go to jail, and then you go to court.
And then you go to jail again.
Right.
You know,
but when you got to jail, you enjoyed the social scene.
I was getting free corn muffins, whatever those were called. Yeah. You know, girls were trying to make apple jelly pies for me, and
oh yeah, they just loved you.
It was very weird trying to get in my showers, braiding my hair, offering me cigarettes
for 2 days.
2 days. No, that Atlanta was worse. Cause Atlanta was the one they was trying to get in the shower with me and stuff.
Uh huh.
But you got like.
But you didn't feel threatened?
Not at all.
Oh, really?
I had like the, you know, you got the butches and you got the girly girls just offering me extra stuff.
Oh, yeah?
We was only allowed like one juice and then everything else had to be water and they would sneak me more juice.
They really loved you, huh?
It was amazing. The cops are the worst part, the deputies.
Yeah.
They're the worst ones.
Yeah. What do you mean?
Because they make it like, you know, you go to jail and it's, if it's cold inside, they turn the AC up. Like they just make you uncomfortable and you're like, but she murdered somebody and I just was having too much fun. Like, or even people for a ticket. Like they put us all in the same category.
But it's just funny to me that when you, it's sort of sad and funny. I mean, it's like, yeah, I'm obviously there's a social life you have that revolves around, you know, parties and bars and stuff. But there's something so raw and immediate about the whatever the gay scene is in a prison that for you, you were just a star, right?
It's listen, women know how to finesse their way through life sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the chicks in Atlanta was very open to a lot of stuff in jail. And then she got out and you'd never heard from her again. I was like, I thought we was together.
Right.
You know, and now she's with a dude. And
I'm just getting by. Safety and
all
comfort.
You have to do is not mess with somebody, girl.
Yeah.
Like, I never walked in and was like, where y'all at?
Yeah.
You know, it was just like if you came to me and...
Yeah.
But I was nice to everybody.
Did you develop any lasting friendships or relationships out of your time... You're weak in prison.
No, not to everybody. One girl from my last one.
Where was that?
She gave me like a code to. It was out here.
Uh-huh.
She gave me a code to call to use the phone
because
usually you have to wait till you get processed.
Right.
And she wound up hitting me up on social media and was like, "Hey, girl, I didn't know you was a comedian. Here's my number. Let's link up."
Your jail buddy.
She was beautiful though.
And did you look her up?
Huh? We're following each other on social media. But when I was in Atlanta, the girl who was giving me extra juice was like, yeah, write to me. And I was like, cool. And I was like, you know, by the way, what are you in here for? And she's like, arson and robbery. Yeah. And I said, you know what? I don't know if I should give you my address. You know, because then it becomes about if you find out I'm a Wayans.
Yeah.
What's that world?
Right.
So.
All right. So you didn't give her your.
Not at all.
So when did it sink in that you're fucked up? The third one?
You know, I think,
when did you start comedy?
I started comedy in 2003. So I was drinking a lot during that time. And then, so the last time I got sober, I met somebody who was like spiritual and she started getting me into meditation and, you know, and she wasn't judgmental. So I would get drunk and she wouldn't be mad. And
yeah.
So I started going to therapy drunk. And real talk, and my uncle told me to record my sessions. And so I went in, I would drink, and I would sit there, and I would just talk. And I realized I would just go, shut up. Like, you're complaining about something that has already happened.
Yeah.
You're blaming people for your life.
Right.
And it was kind of like a take charge kind of thing.
That was what you got out of therapy.
I got out of therapy drunk.
This is a racket?
Right. Yeah. Right.
Like, listen to me.
It's like listening, you know, forgive me, ladies, but it's like listening to your girl or your wife talk and she's just talking about nothing for an hour.
Yeah, that goes for men too.
Right. All right. Right. Thank you, Mark. Thank you for chiming in on that.
That's a human thing.
Right. Yeah.
And I imagine they're thinking the same thing sometimes. Can't win that one. But no, I get what you're saying. That's a pretty good revelation to have. But you think it was because you were drunk that you noticed that?
No, I just started to, you know, when you feel like things don't work for you, you know, so it's like if I stop drinking and then I'm waking up every day at 2 o'clock in the morning and staying up till six, but then I got a full day. And then, you know, so you're dealing with those things. So like I'm used to drinking, I'm used to smoking and being able to go to sleep and wake up and start again.
Oh, yeah. It's weird. So you go through withdrawals, you can't sleep.
You go through withdrawals, you can't sleep.
Fucking worse.
I got stuff to do and I'm like showing up tired and stuff. So she would like, I remember her putting headsets on me when I was going to sleep and listen to these meditation or tone sounds. Mm-hmm. And I would go, you know, this is not going to work, and wake up the next day fully rested.
Huh.
And so that became a, like, maybe.
There's something to it.
There's something to it.
Well, meditation I can get. I don't do it, but I like the idea. I'm very close to doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You do it now?
I do it not as much as I should, but it's even if you can sit for like 2 minutes.
That's what people keep saying, and I don't know what the hell's wrong with me. I sit and play guitar, get into a trance with it. And I, you know, cause
that's your meditation, though.
It kind of is, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it is, but I would like to try the other one. Do you do the TM or anything like that?
I do two different, like you. I learned that you can lay down, mm-hmm. like you can lay down flat and you hold, you know, because you got your chakras, so you can mm-hmm. hold it. In certain places, mm-hmm. or you could sit up like this that you get comfortable. And what worked for me was counting backwards. So you count from 100 to 0. And if you forget where you are, you just either start over or start back from the number you remember.
Yeah. And that gets your brain clear.
It just, by the time you get to like 40, yeah. you're kind of like, all right, 39. And then you get, you almost just start coming into this peaceful moment at like 10.
Oh.
And then you just kind of sit with yourself.
And then you stay there.
And you stay there. As long as you can, though. It's not about...
So 2003, okay, so you're doing comedy. You didn't come out to do that. What made you decide to do it?
I started to...
Other than your weigh-ins.
I know, right? No. Well, it was around me so much. You know, and one day I went to a comedy club while working on My Wife and Kids. And I went home that night and kept thinking of two jokes. And
that you wrote...
Just
no, that
two
they,
jokes in my head.
Oh, yeah.
And I literally like sat up all night and I started writing them out. And then I went back to the open mic the next day and then they invited me to the show. But that became the first time I felt like I can speak without somebody telling me to shut up and stuff. You know,
see, that's like, that's beautiful. I mean, I sense that about you because I mean, in watching the set that I saw in Tiffany's thing, was that, like, I didn't get into comedy to entertain people. I got into comedy to have my own space mm-hmm. and my own place where I could talk my shit,
mm-hmm.
whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
That's the great thing about comedy is that, you know, the only requirement is you get laughs. And when you start out, that's not even expected.
Exactly.
So like, I can own my place,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So that was a feeling, right?
That was it was one of the best highs I ever had in my life.
Mm.
You know, it's nobody. And then to go against the grain and then people receive you still, no matter what walks of life they
are. Yeah, because we're a bunch of fucking weirdos.
Yeah, exactly.
Comics are the biggest fucking weirdos. We're doing it because we don't fit in anywhere else.
Right, right.
Now, there's this whole generation of comics that, like, you know, somehow there's some people that, like, have jobs and stuff. And I'm like, what are you doing this for?
Right, right, you know, right.
We're not capable of functioning right. in real life. That's why we're doing this. Hopefully this works out and we can become part of the life that, you know, this entitles us to.
Right. Right, right.
But it's a roll of the dice, man.
Right. Well, the crazy thing is I'm actually thinking about hitting Postmates again just to see if that, I
now,
could.
Now, Postmates is where you deliver food?
Mm-hmm. Well, you could deliver anything they can order from there. So I've delivered like Apple, like iPhones and...
But okay, so that was what you were doing as temp work while you were doing comedy?
Mm-hmm. Well, recently, like just last year. I still have the cart. Like every now and again, I'm like, I just want to make $50 and I'll go.
Oh, so it's like Uber. You can just, you know, log in and
right.
go?
Right.
And then you'll get called?
Yep. The difference is you don't have to deal with people, and that's why I like it. Like, no one wants to talk to you. They want their food.
Well, it's nice that they have those kind of jobs now, I guess, that, you know,
definitely.
You can. Yeah, I mean, that changed everything. Like, when I was coming up, it was either temp jobs or whatever. I haven't had a fucking job since 1988.
Right.
Was when I started making money doing stand-up, and before that, I just worked at a coffee place. But, yeah, but this whole other world, this whole other economy of being your own boss for... Mm. You know, not big bucks.
I mean,
but
you're slaving for like...
Right. So but you're still working on the show when you start doing comedy, right? You're still working on Damon's show.
Mm-mm.
Or no?
Oh, yeah.
And how did they respond when you...
Oh, my family, listen, when they like are into something, they're into it. So I was able, Sean was the one who kind of sat me down and helped me, you know, with my writing and stuff like that. And so... I would be in New York and call them at like 3 a.m, like, yo, I did this joke and it didn't work. And he'd be like, well, how did you say it?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I did this and this. And, you know, and he's like, okay, well, calm down. You know, maybe try this and blah, blah, blah. And then they would show up to some of my...
is your uncle Sean?
Sean, yeah. Sean, but I can call my brother, Craig. I could call any one of them that was doing stand-up.
The Wayans joke hotline.
Exactly. And they would be so excited to just, you know what I mean? Like answer and give me notes. And they sometimes they would come to my shows and then be in the audience. And I remember trying to do this woman president joke and I stopped. And they were like, well, what else? Well, what if she goes here? And what if she does this? And then, like, that's what they would do. They were like,
right.
Yeah.
Give you different options.
Because when you're in front of an audience, I'm like sitting there, like, ah. But it was.
They would do it in the audience?
And they would be in the audience, and I'd be on stage, and I'd be like, ah. And then I'll stop, and then they'd be like, well, what if she had a whole.
This is your family?
Yeah. This is Sean. I think Keenan was there, and my cousin Lil Damon, because he just started too. It was amazing.
It certainly keeps you on your feet.
Oh, for sure.
And they're going to get, sometimes they'll get a bigger laugh than you.
Right. Exactly. And I'm like, come to the next show. I'll do that again. But what I realize is like the level of nervousness is different when you have people around you that you like, right? Or your friends.
Is it better?
I think so. I think it's.
I used to kick them out of the room.
I don't want them in the front. But
when I used to do stand up in New York, if like Attell was in the back, I'm like, get out.
It's hard enough. You don't see them?
You know, like these joke wizards. I'm like, I'm just trying to get through this.
Right.
This is not going to help me when you guys sitting there. Mm-mm. I appreciate the support, but I don't think it's coming from the right place.
That's right. Well, you know, then you get roast. Like they, you know, yeah. You got to go through that stuff. You.
Well, you know, you do whatever you got to do to get, like, it just used to, like for me, starting out, because I was angry and, you know, I've never been, it was a hard sell. I wasn't, mm-hmm. you know, I was pretty raw, but I was unique. But when I see the guys that I respected in the room, mm-hmm. My brain tells me it's sort of like, you're just looking to see me fail.
Right.
So you can laugh at my failure because that's how sick comics are. Like if someone's bombing, those are the best laughs because they're not even laughs. Right. I used to do a joke about being on stage. When a joke doesn't work, here's what you hear. Just something like, ah.
They
can't even laugh. They're so jaded and cynical. It gets stopped here. And all they can do is enjoy your fucking struggle. But you get used to that. I mean, it's fine.
But I do that. I think we all do that in some sense. But I notice like if I go to a show now, sometimes I don't laugh, but I think it's brilliant.
Oh, yeah. No, of course.
And so that's the mind frame I'm coming from.
We can't laugh anymore at comics.
Yeah, no, it's not even. It's like.
I have a couple of times trying to think, you know, there's some people get me like, but it is more of because we're part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you're just like, oh, shit, that's fun.
Why did I come up with that?
There's that one. Yeah. So they're showing up in the rooms and they're helping you out.
Mm hmm.
But your life is still sort of chaotic, right? And you're doing Postmates. So you're kicking around for how? Now, this is your first TV thing, Tiffany Singh.
First big thing.
Doing stand-up.
Yeah, I've done a few. Like, I've done Wallin' Out. I actually just shot something in January on Netflix with AJ and the Queen and RuPaul's show.
Oh, yeah?
With RuPaul. So I've done stuff like that. A lot of it's been stand-up, and then I just kind of was like, I never wanted to do a bunch of stand-up shows because I felt like I was building towards this hour, and I like storytelling, and like,
sure.
I don't want to give those pieces away.
I know.
I've done stuff on, like I did two jokes on Wildin' Out, and now you got people that's like, I heard some of these jokes in Netflix, and I'm like, it's not even the same.
What do you want from me?
Yeah, but it's not even the same, like, it's different. I grew.
No, I know. I try to deal with that because a lot of times, even on the podcast, when I'm just talking out at the beginning, mm-hmm. I get ideas,
mm-hmm.
and then I kind of you work them, mm-hmm. craft them into jokes. Just because you heard the story,
right?
It's not the piece,
right?
But I can't even give a fuck.
No, it's so annoying.
Anyways,
Mark, my clip was 2 minutes, and the girl goes, "I heard this already."
Yeah, but fuck her because like you know, and it just. What all it does, the reason why we make a big deal out of it is because we know in our hearts that like, you know, we're aware of that.
Yeah.
So when someone brings it to light, you're like, I knew it. I'm a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
But like, who cares?
Yeah.
Fuck.
It just sucks.
Can't make people happy. Well, what do you can't fill all the content.
Yeah.
But all right. So
good. But, so mad right
But this
there,
was
Mark.
The long one.
It's like.
Well, I think you like what's you still seem pretty raw and like in it.
Yeah.
Like it's all very immediate, but I also like, you know, how candid you are in front of a mixed audience, and by mixed I mean straight, gay, mm-hmm. you know, black, whatever. But you know, you're sort of owning lesbian lifestyle with swagger to where where a broad audience can kind of accept it, even if it makes them uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
It's who you are, and it's like dirty and it's good.
Mm-hmm.
How long did it take you to get there?
Honestly, it took me probably 8 years to go, you know what, I feel like I'm on to something And it was because, like, you know, people were telling me to dress a certain way and maybe I shouldn't do these jokes. I remember this agent that came, you know, it was with my uncle. We're in Miami and he, before
Which
I
get uncle?
On, Sean.
Yeah.
And he pulls me in, the, you know, outside and he goes, listen, I think you should, like, chill on the gay jokes. He's a gay agent.
Oh.
And he's telling me, you know, you should probably stay away from those. I said, you haven't seen my set yet.
Yeah.
So he goes, I'm just telling you. So I go on stage and this is in front of, you know, straight men, mm-hmm. you know, buff men, you know, people yeah. you feel like you might be intimidated in front of and
right.
so and so on. And I pretty much get like a small standing ovation. And so I come out back in and he's just like, it's like nothing you can say, but
yeah.
the audience decides.
Yeah.
And if I can have, I don't care if it's a gangster, it's the most conservative person in the room, a pastor.
Uh-huh.
I've had these type of people approach me and say, man, you're funny, or you made me feel a different way about
right.
that lifestyle, or
yeah.
I appreciate your honesty.
Right.
And that was just like, well, screw you
right.
know, the network and all these people that just don't believe it.
Right, right. Yeah, because they're nervous for whatever reason.
But
they don't
want
to take any chances.
You know, they can make anybody
yeah.
they want to. So
yeah.
it's like, you should see like my compliments and comments right
oh,
now.
Yeah.
It's like, what do you mean there's no audience for this?
Yeah, no, it's crazy. And especially now where everybody sort of carves their own audience.
Right.
There's no general audience
right.
anymore. You're not, and everyone's not playing for the same audience.
Right.
You do what you do and your people will come
mm-hmm.
and then you just try to hold on to your people.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of like the black community in general, it seems like they're a little harder on gay men.
Oh, they're hard on gay in general.
They are.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's church, like, especially in the South.
It's church thinking?
Like, South.
Yeah.
You know, that's, it's just like, I mean, it's almost like having a crackhead. We just don't talk about that.
Yeah.
You know, we can look and...
You can know.
You can know.
But, you know...
But if you say anything, it's like...
Really?
It's just something we don't...
Are you up against that sometimes?
I have been, you know, I feel like most of it's been because like I've showed up to comedy spots to headline and they got a picture of my hair straight
yeah.
and then, you know, I come out on stage and I'm you're like, yeah, I wasn't expecting this, huh? We've just got a whole church crowd in the audience, Oof. But you know,
you still do it.
I still do it. What
that's,
am I, you know?
That's a good feeling, isn't it? Where you're like, this is not your night out, is it?
Listen, and I remember like kind of almost packing out for the first time. In Richmond.
Yeah, Virginia?
Yep, Richmond Funny Bone. And when the lights came on, half of that audience was gone. Like, you know how you can only see the first two, three rows?
Yeah.
And I was walking through the crowd before I got on. I'm like, hey, look at me. Go ahead, Shante. The end of that set. It was like, where did everybody? Where did they go?
You're lucky the lights were so that you couldn't see them leave.
Man.
That would have been the worst.
I was just ready for the show to be over.
Oh, yeah. You felt it, though.
I felt it.
Yeah,
you know, at a certain, I was on stage like.
It's worse. We sweating?
Yeah.
I hate that sweat.
Yeah.
I had it not too long ago. It happened to me again. It starts on the back of your neck.
Yeah, it's just, what is that?
It's the worst is what it is.
Your time slows down.
Oh, it's the worst, man. And I like, because I get, you know, you get, once you get on a roll, like I haven't had that in years. And I did a set at the Cellar's new room. And the Cellar is a hard room in New York. It just is. I mean, yeah, it's a great club, but it's not easy.
Mm.
You really got to be on top of your game. And I just kind of swaggered into their new room, and I'm just doing my shit, and the guy before me killed. And I just feel it kind of like, you know, you put the jokes out there. It's like, and I just felt it on the back of my neck. I'm like, you got to be fucking kidding me. Yeah, time slowed down, and then your face is just acting like it's okay.
Right,
you know?
Right,
And usually I make light of that, but I only had 15 minutes, and I'm like, I'm just going to have to fucking take the hit.
15 minutes.
I'm going to take the hit. That's part of the job.
It's so hard.
Usually I'll just say, like, what the fuck is happening?
Right.
But for some reason, I'm like, nope, just take it.
Right, and I probably would have been in the audience looking at you like, look at him still going. That is brave. You know, I'm motivated now. Meanwhile, you got this whole sweat.
That was not the vibe I was getting. No. There wasn't hate or anything. There was just sort of like, nah.
Yeah.
It was just passive.
Why did he go up after?
Yeah, the funny guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Okay, so you sobered up for 4.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
How was that for you?
Amazing.
Years were those? So when did you stop?
Well,
the last one? The last DUI?
Last DUI was recent.
Oh, right. So that's what got you. That was the relapse.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like that, the universe works for me very well.
I guess
and
so.
It smacks me in the face really quick.
You get caught pretty good.
I get caught really good.
So from 2003 to whatever, for 10 years, you were just drinking and doing the comedy.
Yeah, I was just swollen as all hell.
Is that another word for what's swollen?
Like getting inflamed and fat.
Okay.
Just, you know, when you got...
Yeah, bloated.
Yeah, bloated.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, I just... It's like, what's happening? You can't walk?
Just,
joints are going?
I felt like all those things, but, you know, you could feel your body giving out. And
what are you drinking all day long? You get up and drink?
When I'm bored, it's just like, I need to move. I need to work. I need to, you know, so sometimes like I'll be in a frantic, like if you told me an idea and I was like, oh, I got punch-ups. Like, I just need to get it out. I'd be like, Mark, and you probably be like, Shantae, like just calm down. But that's my energy kind of thing when I get excited. And so a lot of times, like if I'm just in the house or, you know, I'm not doing anything.
Sure.
I walk to that store.
Yeah. This sounds like it could feed itself. That. Like, it sounds like one of those alcoholic kind of excuses. Like, when I'm bored, I'll drink. How often you're bored?
A lot. All day. All day. Well, you know, you wake up at 7, you're like, what are you up for? Yeah.
Like, what am I going to do between now and noon?
Right.
It's a lot of time.
Now and noon. I got to be somewhere at 8. You know, what am I going to...
It's all day.
But it just, I think more so it's like you start thinking about, my brain just goes too much. And so when you start, you know, when it gets back into that,
beating yourself up?
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, you know,
yeah.
Just on past mistakes or, man, I should have did
hard.
This.
And, yeah,
you know, it's
the worst. Yeah.
And then I don't know why. Like, I know better.
And your chest gets tight.
Yeah, and I just know better. But then you get that first nip and then you're like, you know what? Who cares?
Right.
I'm going to put on some video games, some music.
Yeah.
And then, you know, three nips in, I'm calling people I shouldn't be calling. I'm like,
and you don't make that 8
Tiffany Haddish and Netflix. Remember when it's like, why did you call that person?
When did you meet Tiffany?
Oh, I knew Tiffany for like over 12 years.
Mm.
So I met her out here.
When she was just, before she broke?
Before she broke. Mm. Well before she broke.
Yeah.
That's when, you know, I always say this, but Tiffany was just... We had this relationship of just nobody kind of hated on anybody, you know? So it's like, hey, you got to audition. We should come do the same audition I'm doing. Yeah, just like trying to help. Like, I think you could do it. And there was no, like, whoever's going to win, let's win together.
Right.
You know?
That's nice.
Yeah.
So she's been there for you a long time.
Tiffany's amazing.
Yeah.
Been the same person.
So now what is happening? Like, now you headline?
Now that's what I'm doing, getting back on the road, setting up. I'm doing a house arrest comedy tour.
Who's involved in that?
Me. I'm headlining, just taking, you know, the people I can on the road.
Why that title, house arrest?
Because one, I'm a homebody very much. I like being locked down.
Yeah.
But I just figured I'm really big on, like, if anything ever comes out, then I need to put it out myself. And so house arrest, even though I wasn't on house arrest, it was kind of like that's the direction it could have went into.
Right.
And so those are the things that I just like to keep to kind of just make me remember where I could have been.
Oh, yeah. Like at all the different
I mean,
turns.
I could have been in jail still right now.
Yeah. Know? What happened in the last DUI?
I went for 2 days.
Oh, yeah.
But still, they were smacking down on me. You know?
Like if you got another one, you'd be fucked.
Oh, I'd be screwed. Yeah. But still, it was like, you know, I was actually trying to get the Scram bracelet because I knew that would help me not drink. I couldn't drink for 90
days. Right, it's like anti-abuse, yeah.
The judge was like, I think it will hurt more for her to go to jail. And
wrong.
I was out in a day and a half.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, you don't understand. I have a problem. I was like showing him, my sponsor wrote a letter. I wrote a letter. I had AA me. I was trying to do the 90-90.
90-90, yeah. What are we going to do? How are you going to get this straight, man?
You got to get my life together, Mark. Where are you going to meet?
I do.
You go to meetings?
I just had 20 years, man.
You got some sound effects? What is going on here?
I've got my coin in my pocket. So usually a friend gives me a coin and then I eventually lose it.
Right.
And then I'm like, all right, well, I made it through. I'll carry it for a couple of days.
Right.
I got my 20 platinum. I
love that. That's so dope.
20.
That's so dope.
But you know, like I eat my nicotine lozenges. I drink my tea all day. Mm-hmm. You know, but it's not the same. But I have that personality. But I went to a meeting the other day. Got my cake.
Yes.
But I don't go as much as I should. Stay fresh. How do you start slipping? You gotta get your head straight. Shantae.
I think I was a little hurt from my sponsor breaking up with me.
Get another one. They're like kittens. Yeah, they're all over the place.
You know what I don't like? I hate the calling every day for the same stuff. It's like, hey, so how you feeling today? I'm good.
Yeah, but you know, like, but you know what it is? It's that like some here's the
you're
thing
looking at me like you sponsor.
I don't much because it's hard to sponsor because I'm busy and also I'm who I am. And then yeah. I'm not great with personal boundaries. So like the thing about that relationship, it really has to be just about booze and not drinking booze. Mm-hmm. Not like you know the career thing starts to happen. Then it's sort of like, how are we talking now? Mm-hmm. You know. But I talk about it publicly, even though it's against the tradition. I don't care. But the woman who got me sober used to say the first step is the only one you have to work perfectly. Mm. So, like, you know, how do you get to understand that you can't do it no matter what? And some of that has to do with the repetition of the shit. Mm. Right. So like, yeah, it's tedious to talk every day or go to a meeting every day. And yeah, you know, I was that guy in meetings where I'd be like, you all stink. I can't fucking stand this shit. But, you know, but eventually, you know, the habit starts to happen and you really start to realize that you're one drink away from destroying your life, possibly in any number of ways. So in order to get that thing, that powerless thing in there, takes repetition. You got to brainwash yourself by doing that shit. Mm. Even if it stinks. There you go. We just had a meeting.
Gosh. Could you sign my card for me, please? I got to do 19 meetings.
Yeah, give me the card.
Okay, fine. Hold on. You heard it first, guys. He's signing my... hold on. Let me pull out all this
mess. I'm going to be the one to get you in trouble.
There you go. There you go.
You want me to sign it? I can't.
I just wanted to show you. I got
the
my
court
card.
Cards. You got your court card.
I'm in this DUI program right now where nobody knows what they're talking about.
Huh?
Like, they're teaching us absolutely nothing that they understand.
Oh, this is a court ordered DUI program?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not a meeting. It's what is it?
No, you still got to go to meetings. And
right.
Stuff.
But you're not one of those people that shows up like the last 15 minutes of meeting just to get your car signed, are you?
No. Okay. No. Okay. Because I do know that you go to certain places and some, you know, when I find a good one, I love it.
Yeah.
You know, but I feel bad to go get it signed. You know what I mean? Or I'll ask.
Walk of shame. Yeah. Anybody with court cards? Yeah.
And I could always get it signed, but when I go late, I go, listen, I showed up late, it's still okay.
Yeah.
But I don't, I try not to.
Right. Yeah. You're not trying to run a hustle. You just.
No, I love the direction. I want it to sink in.
Well, can't you integrate it with this sort of random broad spirituality you have?
I know, right? Absolutely. my next life when I come down.
He's going to be sober?
Be sober.
You better get sober in this one so the next one you have to do it all again.
I'm going
to
be doing cocaine in the next one. Like,
no.
Damn it, I said.
No, it's going to take you 10 lifetimes to get sober. You're going to take your 100-year chip.
Right, I know. It's like, no, you don't understand. I was here before.
Again and again.
No, I want in and I've been in and out and... I definitely understand that.
You can get it, man. You just, when you're on the road, go look for them on the road. It gives you something to do, you know what I mean? But, you know, I'm when I go on the road, I used to, it's so funny when you go on the road and you look up, you're looking for a meeting on the road, you always end up at the weirdest, wrongest meetings. One time I was on the road and I found a meeting that was near where I was staying. I walked over there and it was just me and another guy. Right. And he had just gotten out of the program. And I'm like, I guess this meeting's not happening anymore. Right. And I'm like, well, there's two of us, so right. let's do it. Let's do the thing.
Then you guys are signing each other's cards.
Yeah, I didn't have a card. Oh, yeah, hilarious. But I would have signed his card. But I've been to some weird ones. But it's like it gives you the, you know, if you can find it interesting like that, and you're getting into new parts of town and stuff, it gives you the incentive to go check it out.
There was one dope, like I went to go visit my mom and I wanted to drink.
In New York?
No, she's in North Carolina.
Oh.
And, you know, I go down there and I find a meeting and I find stuff that is complete, like it feels like it's against everything I look like it's always at a church.
Right.
But it's always like, you know, for me, you know, you hear stories about like South Carolina and stuff like that. So like walking into a room full of white people that's older and, you know, you kind of feel like, and then you're here looking like this.
Yeah.
So, but I've been to those meetings that you turn around and you go like, this lady came up to me. She was like, oh my God, you have 3 DUIs. She was like, I have 5. And you're like, she's like, I can never drive again. But just this old white lady who's like connecting with me. And I was like, this is why.
That's the beauty
I was
of
to come
it.
Here because I was judging.
Yep. And, you know, in the, yeah, and addiction and alcoholism and all that shit doesn't, it knows no color lines.
Mm-mm.
No,
it's not at all.
It's a human sickness. Are you in a relationship now?
No, single.
Are you having fun?
No, you can't be in a relationship after a Netflix special. Mark.
No? Oh, really? Is
no.
that how that works?
Oh, no.
Yeah,
no,
yeah, you got to wait it out.
I like saying that.
Yeah.
No, I'm actually, like, you know, I'm dating. It's somebody I like, but I also feel like because I'm not already in the relationship, that it might be a little scary because, you know, you have to put in time and stuff that before.
And their needs and whatnot.
Yeah, you know, all that blah, all that stuff. But I'm going to New York soon. I'll be gone for a while. So I'm just a little scared to
start
hearing.
Yeah,
I'm
like,
what about me?
Yeah. Well, I think it's great. I think you're great. And I'm glad you're alive. And
you.
Now I'm, you know.
I'm glad you had me before I get to Tiffany's level.
I
should have.
I have a feeling that if I get you after that, the stories are going to get even. I think it's all going to get better from here.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't want to, you know. Project and badness.
No, I'll be fine.
Yeah.
I know I will.
And with the uncles and stuff, are they're excited about the special and everything?
They have. They saw it. They all love it. You know, my uncle told me, he said you represented.
Which one?
Damon.
Yeah.
He goes, you represented us well. You represented your lifestyle. And he's just like, I'm proud of you. And, you know, and that meant the world because, you know, everybody looks up to Damon the most in the stand-up part of the family. And
yeah, he was something, man. Well, good luck with everything.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
Thank you, too.
Well, there you go. There's some an interesting point of view, interesting family. Shantae is part of the Netflix comedy special Tiffany Haddish Presents. They ready? And now I got my phase shifter out. I got my Earthquaker Grand Orbiter out. Yeah. And the Stratocaster. Here we go. Boomer lives.